गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी उन्नति जमुना तीरावन चारी उन्नति जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वी रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। Chapter is entitled Maharaj Rahuguna Meets Jad Bharat. So it's a prose verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Etavad Anuvada Paribhashaya Pratyudirya Munivara Upashamashila उपरतान आत्मय निमित्त उपभोगेन कर्म रब्धम व्यपनयम् राजयानम् अपि तत्वः। सो विल गो टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्री शुक उवाच। Shukdev Goswami continued to speak. Etavat, so much. Anuvada paribhashaya, by explanatory repetition of words spoken previously by the king. Pratyudirya, giving replies one after another. मुनिवरह, ग्रेट सेज जड़ भरत, उपशमा शीलह, who was calm and peaceful in character, उपरत, seized, अनात्मय, things not related to the soul, निमित्त, whose cause, ignorance, for identification with things not related to the soul. Upabhogena, by accepting the consequences of his karma. Karma arabdham, the resultant action now attained. Vyapanayan, finishing. Rajayanam, the palanquin of the king. Api, again. Tatha, as before. Uvaha, continued to carry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Shukdev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when king Rahuguna chastised the exalted devotee Jad Bharat with harsh words, That peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nascence is due to the bodily conception, and Jhat Bharat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Purport, an exalted devotee of the Lord never thinks that he is a Paramhamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse condition, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. These are the signs of an exalted devotee. Tatte nukampam susumikshamanaya. When suffering reverse condition, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. He is never angry with his master. He is always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues performing his duty in devotional service. Such a person is guaranteed promotion back home, back to Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjana etvatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapurbher vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhak. My dear Lord, one who constantly waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and he goes on suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are having this discussion from the fifth canto, chapter 10, which is talking about the whole episode of Bharat Maharaj. how he was a great king and then he got attached to a deer, even though he had developed advanced levels of consciousness to the level of bhava. But then he again takes the body of deer, and then he has this body of again Bharat, where he is acting like a jada. He is not interacting with this world, being fearful that he may get entangled. So previously Acharya's right that Jad Bharat, when he was in his family life, he acted as if he doesn't know, he is mentally not stable, or he doesn't know how to act. Then he gets caught by the dacoits, and then also he becomes quite transcendental. You can do whatever you want with me. But now he comes in interaction with or in touch with Maharaj Rahugana. So Acharyas are saying the family members were in the mode of passion. So because they were in passion, just by giving his darshan or by able to see him, he helped them raise their consciousness. With dacoits, they could see Jad Bharat, and at the same time they also got by his mercy darshan of Kali Devi. And therefore in the next life they will get delivered. But now Maharaj Rahugan, because he is in mode of goodness and he is qualified to be spoken about principles of Jnana and Bhakti, so Maharaj Jad Bharat here is going to now speak to Maharaj Rahugan. So one of the principles we can see is that how Jad Bharat is very conscious of the mistake he had done, and he now understands in his previous life he was to the stage of bhava, but he could understand now I have to really focus, not get deviated, diverted. So Vaishnav, who is willing, who is on his path for transcendence, who is on his path for service to the Lord, slowly but gradually becomes more and more focused in his attempt to serve the Lord, in his attempt to become more and more determined to be reinstated in his position as the servant of the Lord. So Jad Bharat, through this pastime, Bharat Maharaj is showing that even though he was very, very conscious, but there was a slight detour, but then again he refocuses. So a devotee should be very conscious of how he is willing to, as time progresses, become more and more focused in his attempt to be reinstated in his position of being servant of the Lord. And it will require great effort and great zeal to continue in that spirit. So slowly but surely one has to come to that consciousness. So we can learn from this. So it's not about, it's good to spend time in Krishna consciousness. It's also important to increase the quality of time spent in Krishna consciousness. So becoming more and more focused towards our aspiration. And it will be shown by how we engage our consciousness in service of the Lord. So Jad Bharat, by his example, is showing that he is very determined. He is not willing to get wavered now by anything of this world, whatever it may be. So a devotee of the Lord or a sadhaka slowly but surely must progress in that direction. So then, coming to this verse, Rahugan Maharaj, so actually it's palanquin being carried of Rahugan Maharaj, so there are four persons involved. One of the person gets kind of incapable to carry, and they see the strong man Jad Bharat on the way, and they kind of induce him to substitute, and Jad Bharat doesn't kind of retaliate, and he is just flowing with the course of events which are being instigated by destiny or ordained by the Lord. So he starts caring, but he is a Vaishnava at heart. So when he sees some ants, so he is trying to be careful not to step over them. And in the process, because he is moving slowly, or he is trying to mend his step, so then the palanquin, because it's carried by four persons, it gets disturbed. And Maharaj Rahugan, who is in that palanquin, he also is not having a very smooth ride. He's having a very bumpy ride. So because of that, he starts chastising. And he's pointing faults in this attempt. So then he starts saying, are you not stout and strong? Are you not living, etc.? Why are you behaving like this? And then in this set of verses from text number 9, this Jad Bharat starts speaking. And he suddenly, for an ordinary man who is on, you know, on the street and he's just picked up and he looks very ordinary person, what you will expect? Kind of retaliation or kind of words, even though some kind of hurt feeling. But on the contrary, here Jad Bharat, he is speaking transcendental words of wisdom. So he is speaking, "Are, I am spirit soul." Yeah, definitely spirit soul is neither fat, thin, or thirsty, hungry, etc., etc. And you are saying, accusing me that I am dead, though living. So, but still, that is on the bodily concept of life. So, his words or his answers are very profound on a different level. And he is kind of, in the 13th verse it's mentioned, unmatta matta jadavat sva samastham gatasya me veera chikit shitena artha kiyan bhavata shi shikshitena stabda pramattasya cha pishtapesha. So he's saying, my dear king, you have said, you rascal, you dull crazy fellow, I am going to chastise you and then you will come to your senses. In this regard, let me say that although I live like a dull, deaf and dumb man, I am actually a self-realized person. What will you gain by punishing me? So Rahugan Maharaj was chastising, saying that you are deaf, dumb, I will chastise you. But he is saying, in reply, Jad Bharat is saying that I am actually self-realized. What will you gain by chastising me? If your calculation is true and I am madman, then your punishment will be like beating a dead horse. So both sides, if you take, if I am self-realized, what will you gain by chastising me? If I am madman, if you do anything to madman, will he change his course of action? No, he will still do the same thing. So you will not gain anything. It's like beating a dead horse. Somebody is already dead, by beating him, and will you gain anything? You lose your own energy. There will be no effect. When a madman is punished, he is not cured of his madness. So curing a madman is not about punishing him. It is showing him right path. And now, in this verse, Shukdev Goswami says, O Parikshit Maharaj, when King Rahugana chastised the exalted devotee Jad Bharat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. So he was not angry. He was not in a tone of affected by the words of Rahugan Maharaj. Or he was not trying to counteract his words. He was just trying to show the elevated platform he is situated in by just his speech. And then, it's mentioned in the verse, nascence is due to bodily conception and Jad Bharat was not affected by this false conception. So this nascence being situated in this world is because of bodily conception. And Jad Bharat was not affected by this bodily conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee and agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. So, 2 points are coming out in this verse itself. First is, because Jad Bharat was not in bodily conception, he was not affected by his false conception, so therefore he was not affected. So, what is the nature of bodily conception of life? So, in this world, bodily conception makes one. This world is very relative in nature. So, everything we see is not on absolute terms. It's always in terms of relativity. We relate with the body, we relate with the mind, and whatever is happening to that, we accept it as our own. That is being affecting me. So that is the nature of this world where person is affected by relativity. So, and this relativity is due to a constant association with this material nature from time immemorial. So this constant association makes a person believe, I am this thing, I am that thing, I have such and such upadhi, so I associate with that upadhi, I associate with this body because I am having association of that. Like that pastime is there where Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving a lecture and suddenly one fat lady entered the room, and then Prabhupada was talking about how you are not this body, and just by hearing that, that lady felt such relief, oh, I am not this body, because I am carrying this fat bulky body and it is making me feel such hardship. But the relief lies in the fact, just by gaining this knowledge that I am not this body, gives a lot of relief, sense of relief. So, in this world, like, we are what we think, we are made to think. Like, we assume or we are associating with things we are made to think by the world around us, by the upbringing we have. Like one time this story is there, that one eagle laid an egg, and then somehow that egg got mixed with the eggs of the duck, and slowly by the gradual process the duck was kind of sitting on those eggs, and the ducks were also born and an eagle was also born. But because the eagle right from beginning was seeing the duck as my mother and thought that I am of their nature, even though I look different, I appear different, but I am of their nature. So even though eagle has the capacity to fly high, but seeing that I am, she's relating to that duck family, so he's behaving like a duck. Till the point, at one point he sees another eagle who is able to fly. So he is thinking, oh, maybe I can also do that. So the nature of this world is, it's very relative. We are so entangled in bodily conception. So Prabhupada is saying, or in the verse it's saying, nascence is due to bodily conception. And Jad Bharat was not affected by this false conception. So, what does this bodily conception do? It creates such kind of limitation, such kind of a thought process that this is what will make me survive. There is nothing beyond it. One becomes so entangled. But then the nature of devotees, like here Jad Bharat is said, he is not in bodily conception of life. It's mentioned, like Parikshit Maharaj says in 10th canto, 1st chapter, Ne sati dussaha shunmam tyaktodam api badhate pibantam tam mukham bhoja chutam hari kathamritam. So he's saying, seeing that Shukdev Goswami had summarized the pastimes of Lord Krishna at the end of 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj is kind of, he's feeling, arre, it seems Shukdev Goswami is not going to tell me in detail. So in the beginning of 10th canto, 1st chapter, he starts asking, please tell me in detail how Krishna was born, how come Balramji was transferred, what are the different pastimes of Krishna, and then he speaks this verse. He says, don't think that I have been sitting here for 4 days, 4 nights, and I am suffering from shut and trit, hunger and thirst, and therefore you are trying to summarize the pastimes of Lord Krishna. I am drinking the elixir or the nectar of Krishna's pastime. Chutam hari katha amritam. Lord Krishna, Chuta's katha, which is like amrita. Pibantam tvan mukham bhoja. I am drinking pibanta from your lotus mouths. So don't consider that I am hungry and thirsty and try to bound or speak in a limited way. So a devotee is able to transcend or go beyond bodily concept of life only when he is engrossed in his spiritual nature, which is hearing Krishna Katha, taking shelter of the Lord, taking shelter of Krishna. And then one can come out of this fear which is constantly engrossing anyone and everyone in this world. And then the second point which Prabhupada makes, or which is mentioned in this verse, is, and which Prabhupada highlights throughout the purport, is that what is the nature of a devotee? He is naturally humble. So if you see in the Bhagavad Gita also, what are the 20 points of knowledge? The first one is mentioned as amanitvam, adambhitvam. So it is no like false ego or humility. So he's saying, because out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. So he's not thinking, I'm a great devotee. He is calling the palanquin again as if it is my own karma which is coming in the form of chastisement, which is coming in the form of me being asked to carry this palanquin. Prabhupada says, as an exalted devotee of the Lord, never thinks that he is Paramhamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. Generally, the tendency in this world is, if I am suffering, I have to find perpetrator. Who is the cause of my suffering? Oh, he is the cause of my suffering. Oh, the planets are the cause of my suffering. Oh, the situation, the environment, etc., etc. But in the 11th canto, when Avadhut Brahmana is speaking, he says, is my family members the cause of my suffering? Are the planets the cause of my suffering? Are the devatas the cause of my suffering? Then he comes to the conclusion, who is the cause of my suffering? My own mind is the cause of my suffering. So it's not external situations, external environment, which is the cause of my suffering. It is my own mind or my own karma which is coming in the form of suffering. So that's how a devotee sees. The cause of suffering is not external. The cause of suffering is in me only. So like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, what is the What is the problem in this world? Only problem in this world is lack of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because we may do the needful to resolve a problem or a situation, but in ultimate sense, all problems are existing because people are acting in bodily concept of life. And therefore there is quarrel, there is this, there is that, there is this need, or I am encroaching upon others' rights, they are encroaching upon my rights, and things like that. And therefore the constant struggle is going on. So we do the needful, but then we need to understand in the ultimate sense, all the problems will get resolved when one becomes Krishna conscious. So then one will understand, he will, as it said, humility and devotion are synonyms. So true humility is actually devotion, and devotion will lead to true humility. There are synonyms in nature. So therefore, here it is clearly mentioned that how Jad Bharat, even though he is at such exalted position, he is not trying to think that, oh, he is causing me suffering. This is the problem which I am facing. He thinks that the problem is my own karma, and he accepts the reversals. So, and then Prabhupada quotes this verse twice, Tatte Nukampam Susumikshamano. Famous verse, where in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, Brahmaji's prayers, he's mentioning that who has the rightful claim on liberation? Tatte Nukampam, who sees Anukampa, who sees mercy. Susumikshamano, Bhunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. Vipakam, Pakam means something comes, but Vipakam means a great suffering comes. And that also he sees as Anukampa. And Ridvag Vapurbhe, with his heart, with his mind, with his words, with his body, Vidadhan Namaste, he offers obeisances, Jivet Yo Mukti Padesa Dayabhak. That is his daya bhak. That is his rightful claim. That one who even in reversals sees this is the mercy of the Lord. Like Kunti Maharani says, Vipada Shantu Tat Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavata Darshano Yatsyad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. She is praying that let the calamities come again and again upon me. And those calamities, why they are good? Because they give me your remembrance. They give me an opportunity to associate with you. You come for our rescue. So the problems, the vipada, are not making her angry or making her feel why they are coming. On the contrary, she is grateful for those to come because they are increasing her remembrance of the Lord. And that is the nature of a devotee. He sees, as Prabhupada says further on, that when suffering reverse condition, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. They are concessions given to me. Actually, I should get much more. But what I am receiving is a token amount only. It's only concessions. Easy to speak, but when things come in our life, very difficult to practice. Because a small, you know, especially when we have a lot of expectations. In this world, the major problem is that when we have expectations, especially when we invest time, energy, money in something, we generate a lot of expectations out of it. It may be either in the material sphere or in the spiritual sphere also. Oh, I have spent so much time in Krishna consciousness, doing bhakti, chanting 16 rounds for so many years, and still I have to go through so many suffering or so many issues, or why this is happening to me. Because there is a lot of expectations. The more the expectations, the more one is suffering. So like Pingala, she says in 11th canto where Uddhav Geet, what does she say? Asha hi paramam dukham, nir asha paramam sukham. What is the cause of dukkham? Asha hi paramam dukkham. Just asha having this feeling that I deserve it, I need it, I am rightful claim. Asha hi paramam dukkham. Dukh, what is the cause of dukkha is asha, that I deserve it. And nir asha hi paramam sukham. If one does not have asha, nir asha hi paramam sukham. That will lead to sukha. So in this world, the nature of a devotee is, he is naturally humble. He doesn't think that I am doing devotional service. I am Paramhamsa. I have done something great. I am very small. And he is humble. So therefore he doesn't have any expectations. But in this world, because we are so caught up in I am the doer. Oh, in bhakti also I have done so many things. I have spent so much time. I am doing so many devotional things. So therefore we have a lot of expectations. Oh, this I should get this and this thing at this juncture. And therefore if reversals come, one is not able to accept it, face it. Because he is having expectations out of it. That I deserve this. I have done this. I have spent so much time in this activity. And this is my rightful claim. But here in this verse, tattenu kampam, the rightful claim of liberation, of mukti, of devotional service is of one who in reversals also feels that this is the anukampa of the Lord. Tatte nukampa susumikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So, generally, this is very difficult to practice in one's life. It's not so easy. When reversals come, it is very, very difficult. Like I remember when I was working, so there was one devotee and senior practicing for many years, and kind of he was guiding others also. So then he had one son already, and then they got one more son was born. But then he had complications. The son, when he was born, he had complications. So for 6 months, they were trying different things and he was not improving. So he was put on a ventilator eventually. So then when we were there, so we would go every day to the hospital. Every day or sometimes. So many devotees on turns will go and they will be reading Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting with that child. And after some time, the doctors told, actually the child cannot survive. We have just put ventilator and that is keeping the child alive. So you better, you decide what is to be done. Actually, he is not surviving. He is just externally. So after some time they said, okay, you can remove the ventilator. So when they removed the ventilator, the son passed away. So then, according to Vedic customs, if a child dies, you don't burn the body. You have to bury the body before certain age. So then, his name was Sudarshan Prabhu's name is Sudarshan Prabhu. So he was saying, no, no, I will not burn the body. I will not bury the body, I will burn it. Because every time I will pass through that graveyard, I will feel, oh, my son is there. So he is there. So I will not bury, I will burn. So he was kind of adamant that I will not bury, I will burn. So he's going on and on. So then he spoke to his spiritual master. So he was expressing that concern. So then his spiritual master was explaining, Sudarshan Prabhu, don't worry, just do whatever is the prescribed ritual. But then he was saying, no Maharaj, I will be very, very hurt, and every time I'll pass to that place, I will feel my son is there. So he was kind of sticking to his point. Then Maharaj at one point, B.V. Narasingha Maharaj, at one point he said forcefully, Sudarshan, your son has left and only the body is remaining. So just do the needful of burying, the following the what is the prescribed rules. And at that point, he kind of he said, okay, so we'll do the needful. And then actually he was sharing this later, much later, after a few months, in one of our meetings, whole this episode. that how we have heard this philosophy, I am not this body, and we have spoken this philosophy. But when it comes to oneself, and especially when one has a lot of expectations, one has a lot of attachments, then very difficult to practice the philosophy that the body is different from the soul, the person is gone. So he was saying how even though we may be practicing, we may be hearing, we may be speaking, but only when Guru, so he said his realization was that when Guru emphatically said, then kind of stuck to him that the person is gone, only the body is remaining. And then Maharaj said, actually, this soul must be a great personality. He was here for a very short span, but for all the time he was there, he was constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly hearing the holy names, and that's what he did in this world, and he left. So he did not go through all the other aspects which a person goes through in this material world, where he gets access to the material sphere, realm, gets attracted, attached, things and that. So that is the vision of an advanced Vaishnava, Paramahamsa. He is seeing in that great suffering also, it is a sign of great advancement. For that small boy, he must be some great devotee who must have left some quota of his devotional service, which he just accomplished in few months and then left. But in this world, we think that, oh, my son, my daughter, my family, etc., etc. Feeling, because I have spent so much energy, time, investment in that person, in that situation, in that. So there is a lot of expectation that I deserve it. Oh, I deserve the, in this particular case, I deserve the love of my child, the reciprocation of my child, etc., etc. But the nature of devotional service is that it is pure devotional service. Practice makes one humble. He has no expectation. Even reversals of extreme nature, vipakam, vi, is added, which makes it even of extreme degree, makes person feel still anukampa. But it is not easy to practice this. Easy to speak, but very difficult to practice. Only in association of devotees and especially of great personalities, sadhus, guru, one may be able to practice a drop of it by their mercy. Otherwise, very, very difficult. Prabhupada is mentioning two times in this purport, Tattenu Kampam verse. He first mentions the first line and then he mentions the whole verse again. That principle needs to be practiced, and for a devotee he practices very naturally. So yesterday we were reading from Nectar of Devotion, and what is the nature? So right at the beginning in the first chapter, the first wave of the first chapter, the fourth verse, Srila Rupa Goswami is offering, we'll conclude with this, so he is offering prayers to Vaishnavas, and he writes this verse, Bhakti rasamrita sindhu charata paribhuta kala jala bhya bhakta makaran ashilita mukti nandikan namasyami. So he is offering prayers to the Vaishnavas. What is the nature of these Vaishnavas? Bhakti rasamrita sindhu charataha. So this ocean of bhakti rasamrita sindhu, this nectarian ocean of bhakti rasa, what they are doing? Charataha. They are frolicking, they are swimming in this ocean of bhakti rasa, which is like ocean. And paribhuta kala jala bhyaha. So kala bhya, jala, kala jala. So in this world, kala, time, creates a net. And it creates what? Bhya, fear. In this world, there's a net created by, the description of ocean. In ocean, what happens is, if you go towards the ocean side, So there are these fishermen, they will put net. And what they will do? In the net, the jalachara, those who are the living entities in water, they will catch and their life will be gone. So here he is saying, paribhuta kala jalabhyaha, paribhuta. But these devotees, they are frolicking in this ocean. They don't have fear of this kala jal, of this time's net. Time net catches everyone. And everyone is fearful. With time, our body starts deteriorating. Our mind becomes manda. We cannot remember things. We forget small things which we were so enthusiastic about. The body was so enthusiastic about. Everything is gone. And that creates fear. So time creates a net where person gets caught. And he is bhiya. He is full of fear. But it doesn't happen to devotees. Paribhutaha. They are bhakta makaran. So makaran is an animal or is an animal of the water which is called king of fishes, makaran. So in Vedic scriptures, this makaran species is mentioned. Ashlita mukti nadikan namasyami. So two things he is saying. First is this, that they are not affected or they are not fearful of this net of time net. And second thing he says, Ashlita mukti nadikan. So in the ocean, many rivers come. Nadikan. Many rivers come. Ashlita mukti. And these nadis or these rivers are compared to mukti, liberation. So aspiration for liberation. Ashlita, they are not affected by that. So two things. These devotees, they are frolicking, they are enjoying, they are swimming, they are bathing continuously in this bhakti rasa, amrita, the ocean of nectar of bhakti rasa, and they are not affected by the kala net, first, or fearful of that, and second, they are not enamored by this mukti, which is like the small rivers which enter the ocean. Ocean is so big, it has huge amounts of water, but the river carries limited amount of water. So one who is frolicking in the unlimited ocean, oceanic water of bhakti rasa, he is not affected. Ashlitaha, he kind of gives up this river-like mukti which is there. So then the acharyas like Jiva Goswami explaining this, they say, why they are joyfully swimming in bhakti rasa? So 3 points from this, he is saying that they don't want to merge in impersonal way, but delight in serving the Lord. So they are in bhakti rasa amrita sindhu, in the ocean. That doesn't mean they become one with the ocean. They are frolicking with the desire to serve, not to merge. Second, devotees ignore liberation, which are like rivers with very limited water. So happiness of merging with Brahman is very, very meager. And third, disregard the fear arising from time's net. Fishes swimming deep into the ocean are not worried about fishermen's net. So why they are not worried about fishermen's net or this kala diya? Because they are deep divers. They are not shallow swimmers. So in bhakti, unless we become deep divers, so the point why am you, like we are using this analogy or this verse quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, that we will come to this stage of tattenu kampam susumiksha mano only when we become deep in our practice of bhakti. If we remain superficial in our attempts to practice bhakti, we will not be able to give up this desire or expectation that I deserve it. And that leads to fear. That leads to a constant struggle. And one feels disturbed. Oh, why this situation is happening in my life? Why it's not able to see as anukampa, mercy of the Lord. But those who are deep divers, they don't get caught up in bodily conception of life, which is like a net of time, which is there on the, the the water surface. So that aspect. So this we can see clearly. So right at the beginning, two things we discussed: the whole episode of Jad Bharat, how he is focused in his attempt to now make this his last sojourn in this world, after having being defeated twice. He has taken this third birth, so he is very focused. He is not getting diverted, deviated, distracted by any of the things of this world. So for a devotee, he slowly but surely he should become more and more focused in his attempt for devotional service. And then Prabhupada, taking the second theme of natural humility of a devotee, is he sees all reversals as his past karma. He doesn't get affected. So, but the nature of the conditioned living entity, he has expectation that I have spent so much energy, I have spent so much of my time, I have given my beautiful years, so I deserve it. But a devotee feels, I don't deserve anything because I am not doing anything. I am insignificant. So that natural humility will be generated when one goes deeper in this bhakti rasa, principles of devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.